Oh, it's always a pleasure to get a chance to talk to Warren Haynes, and particularly a pleasure today because we get to hear these great performances from Warren and Railroad Earth, who have made a new album called Ashes and Dust, and we get to hear it live today. Warren Haynes, welcome back.
Thank you. Always a pleasure for me.
You know, it's funny. I was looking back at some past interviews, and at some point somebody, this was, you know, before the last album, certainly the last solo album, where you talked about things you wanted to do musically that you hadn't really done yet. And one of them was to make an acoustic album, and you certainly put everything in place to do it.
Well, it's been in the works for a long time. At least 7 years, I would say. At one point, I was going to do a record that was going to be with Levon Helm and Leon Russell and my friend T-Bone Walk, the great bass player. And T-Bone passed away first, and then Levon passed away, and that record just kind of disintegrated. So I turned around and made Man in Motion, which was kind of a soul music meets blues record. But the whole time, my intent was to start recording all these songs that I write that are different from Government Mule songs and different from Allman Brothers songs. And I think some of the songs on Ashes and Dust would have probably been on that record that never got made. But, of course, I've been writing a lot since then as well, and I haven't kept track of all of it. But I think there is a similarity in the record that never got made in this one.
Mm. Well, tell me about the relationship with Railroad Earth and why they became the right people.
Well, I guess I started hearing those guys about 6 or 7 years ago. They opened for the Allman Brothers at Red Rocks. Then shortly after that, I was booked to do a solo acoustic set on the Del Fest, Del McCoury's Festival in Maryland. And it was a long set, like 75 or 90 minutes, and that's a lot to do as an acoustic act. And the Railroad Earth guys were on the bill as well, so I asked some of them to join me for a few songs. And it went quite good. And then there was another solo acoustic show coming up. We had a little more time to prepare, and I invited them for a few more songs. And at that show, which was at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester, New York, things just really fell into place, and I think it was that night that I thought this might be the right way to make this next record.
Well, tell you what, let's let folks who haven't heard any of these get a chance to hear some performances. And I wanted to start with one of the high points for me, which was Stranded in Self-Pity. I thought you guys really nailed it. And anything that you were striving for when you were writing this song?
Well, Stranded in Self-Pity is actually written by my friend Larry Rhodes, who is a mentor of mine that I grew up sneaking into these folk clubs in North Carolina to hear. And Larry and I, he was one of the several songwriters in that area that took me under his wing. And I started playing this song with him when I was about 14 years old. He's quite a bit older than I am. And it's a highlight for me as well. It's one of the ones we can really stretch out on.
Well, here you go, Stranded in Self-Pity, our guest Warren Haynes, along with Railroad Earth, live on stage at World Cafe Live.
Well, the dead dreams I can create when the moonbeam is on the snow. Is my only friend. I feel so forsaken, like the good times are on vacation and ain't coming home again. Sitting here without her, I get to thinking about her. Just stay right on. She's in New York City, and I'm stranded in self-pity. Don't you play no blues tonight. Your guitar will get to crying. favor you can do me. Don't sing no sad songs to me. Self-pity. Don't you play no blues
Don't you sing no blues.
night. Thank you.
Warren Haynes and Railroad Earth, that is a song that is on Ashes and Dust, their new album together, and we heard that version of Stranded in Self-Pity live on stage at World Cafe Live, and we're getting a chance to talk with Warren about this new album and all kinds of things going on in his life. I will say, Warren, we're talking to you just days after Fare Thee Well closed up their tents, and I just wondering if you had some thoughts on that, because, of course, you've had a relationship with those guys for a long time.
I wish I could have been there to see it. You know, I was on tour doing my own thing, working and promoting Ashes and Dust. But I'm really glad that they decided to do some shows for the 50th. I think the fans really wanted that, and I'm glad that that came to fruition. You know, I always enjoy working with those guys, whether it's individually or collectively, and I look forward to the next time.
Well, yeah, you've put a couple bands to bed over the last couple of years. Contrast that a little bit with the Almonds and their you know, stopping.
Well, the Allman Brothers Band, which I joined in 1989, at that time, whenever they talked about this sort of thing, they always mentioned that the Allman Brothers never wanted to become a nostalgia act, and they always wanted to feel like they were leaving everything on the stage and breaking new ground every night and not just going through the motions and not just playing the hits, that it wasn't that kind of band and it wasn't that kind of music. So I agreed totally with that philosophy, and so the past 4 or 5 years, the band had been talking about the right time to stop touring, and everybody agreed that the 45th anniversary would be the right time. I think it got confusing because at least one member of the band started to get cold feet and try to convince everybody to keep it going, and a lot of us had made plans for the future, and it just wasn't possible to do that. So there were a lot of convoluted statements in the press and stuff, but we went out with a bang. We went out on a high note. I thought the last show that we did at the Beacon Theater was a great show, very indicative of what the Allman Brothers is all about. We played a long time, but we also played a very in-depth, meaningful, emotional show, and we were all drained emotionally at the end of it, but really overjoyed. And I'm proud and happy to have been there for 25 years.
Yeah, just amazing. Well, you allude to the fact that you and Derek Trucks, you know, the guitar team, have your own careers, and you have to make your own plans. I mean, how far in advance do you plan what you're going to do? Because you're so involved with so many different outfits.
I think in some cases, you know, a year or two. And Greg also is focusing more on his solo career than on the Allman Brothers. And so, and Greg's on a roll. He's made a really great record with Low Country Blues, and he's really enjoying touring. He's got a great touring band together right now. And so myself and Derek and Greg are all kind of happy doing our own things. And now J-Mo has a band called J-Mo's Jazz Band that is really cool, and they're touring as well. It just reached a point where everybody was having a lot more fun doing their own projects. And then in the case of the scheduling, Derek and I had committed way into the future and weren't able to make a lot of the changes that some people wanted to make. But I think in the long run, everybody was pretty much on the same page that we had made the right decision.
We're talking with Warren Haynes, who has a new album out with Railroad Earth called Ashes and Dust. Well, tell you what, let's go back to the stage. And one of the highlights of the set that I saw was you do a Fleetwood Mac cover that Grace Potter sings on the album with you on. And how did Gold Dust Woman become part of the set?
Well, Grace and I have done it a few times. One time we did it at the Jammy Awards, where we co-hosted the Jammy Awards. And it was always a nice blend, the two of us singing together. We had discovered that when we were touring together several years back. So we never really thought about recording the song. It was just something fun to do live. But when I went into the studio with Railroad Earth, I thought maybe with these kind of Celtic-leaning instruments, it might put a new slant on it and take it into a different direction. So we decided to give it a try, and I was really happy with the way we captured it, because it pays some homage to what the original version did, but it also sounds in some ways completely different. There's a little more spooky, psychedelic, Celtic kind of thing going on, if that's possible. But it's a unique kind of interpretation of the same song.
Is it over now? Do you know how
Warren Haynes and Railroad Earth together on stage at World Cafe Live, that version of Fleetwood Mac's Gold Dust Woman. That's one that is on their new album called Ashes and Dust. Don't go anywhere. We've got more Warren Haynes and Railroad Earth live coming up on the World Cafe. You are listening to the World Cafe, and our guest today is Warren Haynes. He has a new album with Railroad Earth. They're playing live with him today on stage at World Cafe Live. More of that coming up. I wanted to talk to you about, sort of a bit of a sad subject here. If people have seen you and know the band and know Government Mule, they certainly know or knew Brian Farmer, who was your guitar tech for years. In fact, I'm sure I'm not the only one who mistook him for you at one time or another, because you guys looked a bit together. And, of course, he passed away in August. And you dedicate the album to him, and that's really nice. You all must have had just a really special relationship.
We did, and of course there was some sort of physical resemblance that people pointed out. We also discovered by accident that we had the same birthday, and that was a little intriguing. Brian was a really great pro at what he did. You know, he traveled working on guitars and working with the musical instruments for a big part of his life. Yeah, I think he worked for Johnny Cash for 12 years. He probably worked for me for about the same amount of time. And we were good friends, and he was someone who dedicated his life and his whole being to his work. And we miss him a lot.
Yeah, he was kind of like a musician with you guys, because and I mean that by when you watch you and Government Mule, or you and anybody, there's a lot of unspoken communication that goes on between the members of the band, and you had that with Brian as well.
Well, thanks to people like Brian, I would be able to relax and concentrate on performing and not worry about the technical side of things. And in the case of Government Mule, I would bring a lot of guitars on the road, mostly because they were in different tunings, because I would write a lot of songs in different tunings. And so he would have to keep track of which guitar is in which tuning and have it ready to go on a nightly basis. And it was a lot of maintenance and a lot of work and traveling around and banging those guitars around in the back of a truck is a constant challenge. You know, it was like he was having to do weekly repairs on a lot of these instruments because there were so many of them on the road. And the same with the old vintage tube amplifiers that we would carry around because we prefer the way they sound. But that was his passion. He loved doing it. And so through the years, we developed a way of communicating where a lot of times it was just hand gestures or eye contact, and he knew what I was needing or missing, and he would stay a step ahead of me.
Well, he is fondly remembered. Another person who passed away is B.B. King, and I'd love to get your thoughts on him.
B.B. was one of my earliest heroes because I started singing before I started playing guitar, and his was one of the first voices that really moved me, along with people like James Brown and Wilson Pickett and Otis Redding and Sam and Dave and the Four Tops and the Temptations. And when I started thinking more about guitar, I realized, wow, he is equally amazing at playing and at singing. And it was people like him and Ray Charles that made me realize you could do both. You could concentrate on your instrument and on your voice. And I patterned, in some ways, myself striving to make my voice sound like my guitar and my guitar sound like my voice after B.B. King. I always felt like his voice and his guitar were just the same thing. They were coming from the same soul, and you knew instantly who it was. And you know, he was a huge hero for me, and I got to know him a little bit, and I got to play with him a few times, and I'll never forget it.
Warren Haynes is our guest today. He's got a new album with Railroad Earth called Ashes and Dust. And there's one song that on this album that you did live in our recent set here, and I wanted to play it back, and it is one that a lot of people who follow you know from various bands you've been playing with, and that is the one that you co-wrote with Phil Lesh called Spots of Time. When was that originally written, and what's its sort of journey?
I guess Spots of Time was written 5 or 6 years ago. Phil and I were in the studio doing something unrelated, and he said to me, I have this music that I'd like for you to write some lyrics for. And I said, sure, I'd love to. And he said, it's called Spots of Time. And I said, oh, do you have some lyrics already written? He said, no, I only have the title. And I thought that was a little odd in a cool way. And he explained to me that the phrase was taken from this Wordsworth poem called The Prelude, and that Wordsworth had alluded to Spots of Time in several of his works. And me not being that familiar with it, I Googled Spots of Time and Googled The Prelude and read the poem and just kind of thought, what does this mean to me? And wrote lyrics and a melody to it. And I really loved the song. And shortly afterward, the Allman Brothers were rehearsing, and somebody said, you got any new songs you want to work up? And I said, oh, maybe, yeah. And so we worked up Spots of Time and started playing it live. I think we would have recorded it for a final Allman Brothers record, which we never made. So I decided to include it here, and I invited Oteil Burbridge and Mark Quinones from the Allman Brothers to come in and play on it as well. So it kind of takes advantage of the onstage experience that we had playing it for 3 or 4 years and combines that with the freshness of the Railroad Earth guys hearing it for the first time. And it's a pretty magical take.
Pretty darn good song. Yeah, here it is live on stage at World Cafe Live. This is Spots of Time.
time flashed before my eyes like a ribbon of light. Helplessly I tried to touch them before they disappeared into the night. Running fearlessly as in a dream, headlong into the wind. Rolling through my head, moonlight dancing on my skin. Do you remember how young we were, or is it just me? Imagining like I always do that we were once wild and free. Yearns for days gone by, innocence once removed, familiar feeling of a front porch swing in a song that only soothed. Spots of time like windows appear, you can look out and in, but you can't get the future I regret. But I'm going through the past, my friend. Do you remember how young we were, or is it just me? Imagining like I always do that we were once wild and free. Mother's tear, the sparrow, softly glistening, memories that to me are everything, but to someone else, maybe only ashes and dust. Like I always do, but we were once
Thank you so very much.
Spots of Time from our guest Warren Haynes and Railroad Earth, reworking that song that the Allman Brothers did for a number of years and written by Phil Lesh. So a lot of the things that our guest Warren Haynes has been involved with in that song, for sure. Hey, Warren, congratulations on finally making this acoustic album. And you guys sound like you were made to play together. It's great.
Well, it was sure a pleasure, and we've been really enjoying playing together and enjoyed the process in the studio. It was very organic.
Thanks a lot for talking with us, and best of luck. We'll talk with you down the road.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Well, there you go. Stretching out a bit. Warren Haynes and Railroad Earth are our guests, and that is up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. World Cafe is supported in part by Progressive Insurance with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Additional support provided by the members of the World Cafe affiliates nationwide. They include WNTI in Hackettstown, New Jersey, and KCCU in Lawton, Oklahoma. Shows produced at WXPN from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. We've got a great place to see the videos we make in a studio and elsewhere. You can go to youtube.com/worldcafe. It is our new old channel of World Cafe performances. Check that out. I'm David Dye, and this is the World Cafe.